Don't buy Bird Dog's khaki shorts. They're basically just like Lululemon, but they have a bird as a logo. You don't want that. Their website looks like it was made by a 12-year-old. Don't bother visiting it. These idiots can never even keep their products in stock. You shouldn't even waste your time trying. You'll hate Bird Dog's because of their stretch material and tailored fit that makes your legs look and feel great. Nuh-uh. Just don't buy Bird Dog's. You won't like them. Don't go to birddogs.com/MLB, or I promise you'll regret it. Do not visit birddogs.com/MLB or get the free tumbler they're offering.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, I feel like some of you are holding out on me. Unless every single one of the listeners is married or so happy in your current relationship that some of you are just lying.
Flat out lie. That's a lie.
Because not one of you has mentioned a dating app or website yet. Not one. I don't use them. I'm being perfectly honest. However, there are a hell of a lot of you that do. How come not one of you has mentioned that you're using a dating website?
Amy, first let me say
shut up.
Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
I sometimes hear these montages of myself speaking, and I have to try to put myself back in that space where those particular words and statements came from. I think we were doing some type of a show in which we stumbled into a conversation about dating or something goofy. And I was asking people, both on the phones and on social media, whether or not they use dating apps, and nobody would cop to it. It's fine. You can be all kinds of cryptic about your love life if that's what you want, but we know there are a lot of people using dating apps. Don't ask me. I don't know what the context was. I just know we stumbled into that conversation because Jay and I get into all kinds of things a lot of times that we never intended to start the show. But that's what makes this a cool experience. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. It's a living, breathing organism, this show. Sometimes where I start is not at all where I intended to finish. And while I do take notes and have a kind of a loose idea of what I want to talk about so that we can gather some audio beforehand, I very rarely stick to the topic list. I would say I don't stick to the plan, but I don't really have a plan, if that makes sense. I prep. I plan for the topics that I hope to bring up, but more often than not, I don't even get to everything that's on my topic list. But it's good. It's a good problem to have. It's certainly better than the alternative, which is running out of things to say. Last week, some guy wrote to me, thank you for listening, and asked me as part of our hump show when we do Ask Amy Anything, do you ever run out of things to say? Have you ever had dead air? Now, those are two completely different challenges. Yes, I've had dead air before, either because something's malfunctioned in studio or because we had equipment or technical malfunction where it knocked us off the air, or at least knocked our computer out of commission. So Jay and I or previous producers are sitting there staring at each other, right? Because we're not exactly sure what to do. Or there is the random occasion every now and then where I am rendered speechless for a time by either the audio that I hear or by a caller who I am trying to be as diplomatic and as kind and as gracious as possible when I welcome you to my show. So yes, I've had dead air before because of circumstances. It's rare. It doesn't happen a lot. But when it comes to running out of things to say, nah. That's never happened, which is, I would think that that's a quality that you would embrace
and a radio host who does a 4-hour show 5 nights a week. So good morning, or 5 mornings a week, depending upon when you listen. Good morning to you. Happy July 17th. You guys, it's July 17th. For two reasons, that is significant. Number one, I'll go with the obvious before I get to number two. The obvious is we're into the dog days of summer. This is the last stretch before the Major League Baseball trade deadline where teams are trying to determine if they want to make a bunch of changes or any changes at all. We know we've got 2+ weeks left of nonstop chatter about Ohtani. Chatter, speculation, rumors. Why is that? Well, hey, because against the Astros on Sunday Night Baseball, he's up to his shenanigans again. Manny, would you mind letting the peeps know what it is that Ohtani did in the 9th inning against the Astros last night? Manny, it's number 32. Manny's gesturing wildly behind the double pane glass.
Shohei has gone 0 for 3, and he swings at that one and blasts the ball into dead center field, out at the wall. It's out of here. Ohtani flexes his muscles right there, just like he did late in the ball game last night.
34 home runs for Shohei Ohtani on the Angels radio network. That's Terry Smith. Now, we'll get to what happened before the Ohtani home run that determined the game, before and after, I should say. But for Ohtani, he's locked in, right? I mean, the Angels can get a haul for him if they decide to trade him at the deadline. That remains the question. I can understand why they don't want to. I can understand why Artie Moreno, as the owner of the Angels, as well as the front office, is so reluctant. In fact, it probably keeps them up at night and makes them sick to think about trading Ohtani, a generational talent who could impact a team and a game in every way when he's pitching specifically. I mean, this guy puts butts in the seats. Producer Jay and I are going to a game later in the summer just because the team, we're going to Citi Field to see the Mets host the Angels, because we want to see Ohtani. Not because we want to see the Mets, though Jay is a Mets fan, and that's his cross to bear. We want to see Ohtani in person. We want to say that we saw Ohtani, whether he's pitching or he's DHing. We want to see him hit. We want to see him pitch if possible. We just think it's cool. And he puts butts in the seats. Not to mention, he's damn good at what he does. Will the Angels bite the bullet? Because they are backpedaling. They are going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. And I had such great hope for the Angels. I did. I wanted them to stay relevant. I want them to be in the playoffs. I can't stand that it's about to be another season, another October without the Angels in the playoffs. And really, it's not just about Ohtani. It's about Mike Trout. Mike Trout is injured again. The Angels are falling off a cliff. Ohtani is one man, but he's not a Superman. He can't do it all by himself. That remains the question for the next couple weeks. Will they trade him? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Because it's July 17th, maybe a little more obscure, you need to know. Training camps in the NFL open tomorrow. Not all of them, some of them. Did you hear me? Manny, was I too soft? Do I need to say it again? Tomorrow, mañana. Training camps open tomorrow. Tomorrow. I know. I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain around that too. Are you ready? I did this earlier. This is my service to you. We're a full service operation here. These are the teams whose rookies report to their training camps tomorrow. The Atlanta Falcons, the Baltimore Ravens, the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia, I know you're thrilled. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Miami Dolphins, the New Orleans Saints, the New York Giants. This is not quite half, but it's pretty damn close. And the San Francisco 49ers. Training camps open tomorrow. I might say that word one more time, two more times before this hour is up, because that's crazy. I'm not letting go of my summer. Now, you can have the heat and humidity. I had my fill of it this weekend, which is why we're talking about terrible AC stories or losing AC or not having AC stories, because it's hot and steamy in a good portion of our nation right now. And that's generating all these incredible thunderstorms. And I know there's been a lot of flooding events in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, in Vermont. I had to check on my little brother this weekend in New Hampshire. A good chunk of the Northeast is already the groundwater. It's already the ground saturated with the groundwater. Rivers are at flood stage, if not already higher. And so it's scary, the amount of water that's been absorbed or that's been dropped from the skies over the last couple of weeks. And I know not the only part of the country that's dealing with it. The crazy heat and humidity generates a lot of thunderstorms. And that's been the case in my neighborhood as well. It's summertime, and this is what happens. Also, it's nuts, though, because last year in my neighborhood, in my county in New Jersey, we went 10 weeks, 2 days of rain. The heat was, and we had 2 days of rain. Everything was brown, and now we can't go 12 hours without having a rain shower or a thunderstorm. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy how it flip-flops from year to year. Anyway, it is the dog days of summer. So we're working our way toward baseball's trade deadline. But in addition to that, we've also got training camps in the NFL that are opening up in the next couple of days. So those are rookies for, about a third of the teams. Before this week is up, rookies for almost all of the teams in the NFL will have reported. Not all of them, but almost all of them. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to pivot pretty quickly because there's a bunch of cool moments that took place in the sports world over the weekend. We'll get to Wimbledon and a new champion and a new king. Carlos Alcaraz was already the number one player in the world, though if he had lost to Novak Djokovic on Sunday, he would have lost that world ranking. But Novak was the king in terms of Grand Slams and was trying to match Roger Federer as the king of grass. Fourth grass court tournament for Carlos Alcaraz at 20 years old, and he dethrones Novak Djokovic. Whoa. We'll talk about Rory McIlroy. Again, big moments in the sports world. Steph Curry cracks me up regardless of what sport he's playing. So we'll get to that too. But if you missed it last night, I got to give credit to 20,000 sports fans in Miami. They waited out a two-hour, we're talking about thunderstorms and lightning and all that jazz. They waited out a two-hour torrential downpour, refused to leave, because they wanted to see the new hero in town. And boy, did he receive a hero's welcome.
We promised this city that we would dream, that we would sign the best players in the world and the best player in the world. And tonight that dream comes true. But without anything further, I would like to introduce to you your number 10, Inter Miami's number 10, America's number 10, the best number 10 in the world, Lionel Andres Messi.
Oh, it was so cool. It was so cool. I have watched it multiple times. I've listened to the audio from it in preparation for the show. I understand the fans were nervous. They thought maybe it wasn't going to get done. Maybe they couldn't get the I's dotted and the T's crossed. They finally did. And they sell out the stadium. It's in Fort Lauderdale. They sell out their stadium. No event going on. No match taking place. This was just to introduce Lionel Messi. I encourage you, go watch the videos. It's nutso. David Beckham, who's a co-owner of Inter Miami CF, is standing up on the stage. Remember, I don't know if I could call it a trend, but he was the first superstar in the soccer world to make the jump to the MLS. He gave the MLS some credibility, some legitimacy. Going back now, 15 years? He joined the LA Galaxy. Messi is a global phenomenon. Messi is one of the best we've ever seen. And now he's playing in the United States. That doesn't happen. It's the opposite. The best stars in the U.S. go overseas to play. I mean, they'll play for Team USA, but think about it. Christian Pulisic, he's the best player we've got that is an American that is playing for us. He's overseas, right? Because the best in the world play somewhere else because it's better competition. And I'm not knocking MLS. It's great. It's a lot of people love MLS. It continues to grow. We see expansion franchises every few years. But the best players in the world don't generally play here. Or if they do, they play here part of the time, and then they also play for their own clubs. Messi, it's a different stratosphere to have Messi in the MLS. I love this. And I absolutely, just like I don't want to say just twice in the same sentence. I just told you that I want to go see Ohtani play, that I'm willing to bite the bullet and buy a ticket for the Mets. No one wants to do that right now because Ohtani will be at Citi Field. I am going to find a way to watch Messi. Now, he signed a two-year, actually, I'm not sure how long. It's a multi-year contract, and he may be here for a few years. I want to make sure I see him as quickly as possible because I don't know what happens moving forward. I just know Messi is here, and he's with Miami, and there were 20,000 people on hand to welcome him. And also, really quickly, before we take our break, they did a tribute video, and David Beckham was part of that too. They didn't include Pitbull. I don't know why, because I feel like he's the ambassador to Miami. But also, no Jimmy Butler. Butler out of pocket, not available. So they got the next best thing.
Yo, Messi, Stephen Curry, man.
Leo, I wanted to say congratulations on the big move to Miami.
I just want to say congratulations on the transition. Good luck. Know it's new beginnings.
Steph Curry, Tom Brady, next best thing. Yeah, no Pitbull, no Jimmy Butler available. He's in China. We looked it up. But Steph Curry and Tom Brady. Brady does actually live in Miami, if you believe the reports, which I wasn't stalking him, but he could actually welcome Leo to Miami personally. All right, that's cool. That's cool and all. But if you're Messi, I mean, whatevs. Aren't you used to this?
By the way, Lionel Messi is joining a team that in 22 games have won just 5 times.
Oh, yeah. No, they're awful. They're awful. They're last place in MLS. They're the worst team in the Eastern Conference, but they are going to be the hottest ticket in MLS the rest of this year. And that's why David Beckham wanted to do it, of course. Now, does he want to make the club legitimate? Obviously. But it doesn't matter how bad they are. Right now, that's the hottest ticket in MLS. It could be one of the hottest tickets the rest of the year in the United States.
Well, August 26th would probably be your chance to go see him here in the New York metropolitan area because they
will
be...
What about your chance to go see him? Do you want to see him?
I would love to see him. I don't think I can afford that. But I would love to see Lionel Messi one day. On August 26th, he'll be in town...
How do you know I can afford it?
Play against the Red Bulls.
Oh, ooh.
On August 26th.
Now, see, I got connections there. I might just have to go on a press pass.
And if you want to watch him at Yankee Stadium... Kick the ball against New York City Football Club.
Kick the ball.
You're going to have to wait until next season because Miami is hosting NYCFC late in the season in September. So if you're in the New York metropolitan area, you got to go to Red Bull Arena.
All of that to say, Google your local MLS schedule and figure out when Miami is in town. We just did it super easy. I want to see it. I'm all about it. Going to see Messi and Ohtani in the same summer? Okay, sign me up. All right, coming up, they're the hottest team in baseball right now. No, not the Braves, not the Dodgers, trying to think of who else would fit in that category, not the Rangers. Now, the hottest team in baseball right now is the Baltimore Orioles. We're going to investigate this little engine that could, this Orioles team that's growing up in front of our eyes. That's straight ahead. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments, so I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I wanna see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, You've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Two to Rutschman, hit hard, deep center field, racing over the center fielder, won't get there, and it hops into the bullpen. It's a ground rule double, back-to-back doubles to start the game for the Orioles. First Henderson and now Rutschman, and the Orioles lead it 1-0. Fly ball center field, backing up, Myers going back, it's gone! He ran out of room. That one into the Oriole bullpen. Anthony Santander, touch them all.
Henderson rips this into right field on a line. It's Cinquion Soler. He makes the catch, tagging at third base, and scoring is Couser. A sacrifice fly for Henderson, who smoked it to right on the first pitch. But an RBI for Henderson. Couser scores, and it's 5-0 Baltimore.
Two down, two strikes. Pitch on the way. Line drive, Hayes is right there, and he gloves it. The Orioles have won. Ball game. Danny Coulomb gets the most dangerous hitter in the game, Luis Arraez, and the Orioles put it in the win column for the eighth straight time.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
With our apologies to Messi, okay, maybe Messi is hotter right now than the Orioles, but that's it. There's no other figure in sports who can match the Orioles' hot streak. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. With eight straight wins, they are now a team to watch, and the Rays are certainly watching because they're hot on their heels. So coming out of the All-Star break, they're still not having the streak interrupted. Rob Long in Baltimore for our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan, getting set to do his morning show. I'm sure they're going to be a topic, but I know you moonlight with the Orioles. So, Rob, how much fun is it with this team right now?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know. It's a lot more fun than it was back in 2020 when I was doing pre and post, and I would have PR tell me that I couldn't yell that loud during the game because they could hear me. No one else was in the stadium.
I could see that. I could see that, and I could hear that.
You know me.
I do.
So it's so much fun. I mean, the fans are having fun. They're back out. They're caring. You know what I mean? Because the team and the organization has given them a reason to care. You know, with a game better than the Rays in the loss column, only one game back altogether in the AL East. This is a good baseball team. I said this before, about a week or so ago, Amy, before the All-Star break, that the national storyline for them is that they're going to be a team that came out of nowhere when they get to the playoffs, which is totally incorrect. They're not a team that came out of nowhere. They started this run, if you look back, last June is when this run started, and they got really hot, won 10 in a row in July, and they've never looked back. So they're not a team that came out of nowhere. They're a team that started building this the second half of last year.
Well, for people who don't know a lot about the Orioles or how they've built it, yeah, why don't we start there? How did they put this team together finally after years of futility?
Draft picks and development, too. I don't want to take anything away from that, but let's go back to the draft picks. They haven't missed on draft picks. You look at some of the guys that are producing now with the ball club. These are guys that are drafted by the Baltimore Orioles. Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins came before this regime of Mike Elias and Sig Madell and Eve Rosenbaum. But also Gunnar Henderson is their draft pick. And this, you know, you have Adley Rutschman who came up their draft pick. You have Colton Couser came up their draft pick. They have not missed on draft picks, and that's been a big key. And then they've taken those draft picks and they developed that talent. So drafting and development, player development have been key for this team.
I love the Adley Rutschman story, and it was so much fun to see him get his due and to see him get a lot of the attention and spotlight for a little bit at the Home Run Derby. Can imagine Orioles fans were eating that up, but just the chance for some of their stars, up-and-coming stars, guys who were developed in the system to finally get a little more attention. I feel like, Rob, that from Orioles fans, there's a chip on the shoulder a little bit. Hey, what about us? What about us? We're here too.
You know, it's funny you say that because there is a chip on our shoulder. But we also, we can be a little quirky as well, because when we start getting too much attention, then you'll have some of the fan base say, well, I don't want that kind of attention. I want to fly under the radar. So, you know, you're kind of damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm not saying those are the same people. Those may be two different facets of your fans, but you get both around here. You get, you know, no one recognizes us. And then when we get recognized, then you get people who come out and say, well, you know, I want to fly under the radar. I'm not that person. Sports is entertainment. I think sometimes people forget that. It's entertainment. So, you know, when teams are entertaining, they're going to capture the eyes and imaginations of fans. This is one of the more entertaining teams in baseball right now. They have swagger. They do the waterworks celebration, the sprinkler, they turn it on the faucet. You know, you've got the section out in left center field where, you know, get holes down for extra base hits and scoring runs. So this is a fun team that's starting to capture the imaginations of the rest of the baseball world.
Rob Long is with us from our Baltimore affiliate. 105.7 The Fan is getting set for his morning show as the Baltimore Orioles, not only part of their broadcast, too. You can catch him. In fact, I don't know, do you take a selfie every single day when you're at the ballpark? Because I feel like I get one selfie a day from you.
You have to. It's my rule. It's in my contract. One selfie a day, Rob. I'm having fun, too, Amy. I mean, it's,
you should. You
know, think about this. I was born and raised in Baltimore. I don't remember life without the Orioles. I don't. There's not a time in my life that I recall where the Orioles weren't at least in the backdrop. You know, so to me, this is to see these guys grow up and become what they're becoming. It's not only a great job, as you know, but it's also fun to see it, the birth of this, and to see it come to fruition.
Well, it's a lot more fun when the team that you're covering, whether you cheer for the team or not, is winning. It just, there's a different electricity. There's a different excitement. And so you want to check out Rob's Twitter at Rob Long Sports, because you'll see not only the selfies, but you'll see the videos. And he's got great seats, too. So he's right there, field level. He's the host of O's Extra on Masson. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So it's been kind of fun. And I don't know how early fans start scoreboard watching, but you can see the Orioles reeling in the Rays. And after the historic start for them, especially with the teeny-weeny little payroll that the Rays have, I mean, this AL East is a monster anyway, and that's what impresses me about the Orioles and the other teams in that division, is that any progress they make has to be done against the best division in the game.
Every team in the division has at least 50 wins, Amy. That's unreal. We're in mid-July. Every team has 50 wins. And you talk about scoreboard watching. I asked Brandon Hyde when we were in Minnesota. I said, you know, are you aware of what other teams in the division are doing? He looked at me and said, yeah, I'm aware. I know exactly what they're doing. We pay attention, which I thought was refreshing, because normally you get the, you know, we just take care of ourselves. We just go day by day. He said, no, I'm aware of what they're doing, who's playing, you know, who they beat, who's pitching today. And I love that, because normally – you know, you would get the other answer from him, because they'd be 20 games back.
Right.
So you don't want to pay attention to what other teams are doing. But now, you know, they're in the thick of things. And he and some of the other players have admitted to me also, they're watching. They're scoreboard watching. They know what Tampa does. They know what New York does. They know what the other wild card teams do. But right now, they're fighting for this division.
And with 57 wins, they would be the leaders of the AL Central, of the AL West even, as good as the Rangers have been. They'd be the leaders of the NL Central, obviously, and also the NL West. So really, you're talking about a record and preparation for what's to come. They're only a game back of the Tampa Bay Rays, so this is great for them to get some real-world experience or some potential October experience in their own division in the middle of the summer.
One of the great things, Amy, normally this time of the year, Oriole fans are wondering who's going to get traded away.
Oh.
Now they're like, okay, who are they going to add to this? It's now – fans want to become buyers. In the past, you know, since the Adam Jones has left this team, because they had a good run back then too, in the early 2010s and mid 2010s. But now, once again, the fan base is looking at who the Orioles can pick up to help out.
Even as I look up on one of the TVs in my studio, I'm seeing the hoses go. And the fans getting splashed by Mr. Splash. What is their Achilles heel?
I think, that in my opinion, the Achilles heel, and people thought it would be starting pitching, and I argued that all year long. I didn't think so. I thought you lack starting pitching names because these guys are young. But look what they've been doing lately, the quality start after quality start. My opinion is they have a great back end of the bullpen. I'm a big Michael Bauman fan. Everybody knows Cano. Everybody knows Batista. And when you get to that back end of the bullpen, this game could be, for the most part, over. Well, they need to bridge the gap between, you know, the starters and the back end of that bullpen. That's how pennants are won. You know, I've seen Tito Francona when he lost the World Series to the Cubs. But getting to the World Series, you know, I saw him take his starting pitcher out in the fourth inning or after four innings because he had a great bridge to the back end of the bullpen.
Right.
That's how postseason baseball is played. You know, you just don't get starters going 7 to 8 innings in the playoffs that often, if ever. So I think they need a bridge from the starters to the back end of that bullpen. And if they can find that, they'll be dangerous in the postseason.
When should fans start to worry, maybe it's already happened, about the lease at Camden Yards expiring?
I think with some of the things that John Angelos is doing right now with the governor of Maryland, partnering with him, trying to make some runs and make some changes in Camden Yards area. I think that relationship has kind of put that worry to rest. I think fans are eager for it. They're anxious for it, but I wouldn't call it now worry, because with some of the changes that are going taking place in that ballpark, you don't make changes in a ballpark if you're planning to leave. So I think it's more anxiety right now than it is worry.
All right. So we stepped down from worry to anxiety. That's a positive. Rob Long, before I let you go, because I know you have your own show coming up in Baltimore. Is there room with Baltimore sports fans right now for the start of Ravens training camp? Because the rookies report tomorrow.
There is room. Yeah, there is room. And we're going to make room for that on the Big Bad Morning Show. There's room for that, because what else are you going to do now in this crazy world? You know, you got the Orioles winning games and the excitement of that. You have a new offense with the Baltimore Ravens and excitement of that. Amy, I'm telling you right now, September and October, I'll be on your show multiple times because Baltimore sports-wise
will be
the place to be.
What, you're like Tyreek Hill guaranteeing things right now?
September and October is going to be busy in Baltimore.
Can I ask you a question as a sports fan / radio host?
Okay.
Would you go see Messi? Even if you don't love soccer, would you go see Messi?
Well, I love European soccer, number one, and I would definitely go see Messi. Come on. There's some people transcend their sport.
Yes.
And you've got to see. It's like music. You know, I'm not a U2 fan, but when they came to Baltimore, I had to see them. They transcend their genre. There's certain people that transcend what they do. And Messi's one of those guys. If he's in your area and you call yourself a sports fan, you got to go. Mm. You know, if you can go, you got to go. I mean, when European soccer comes over here and they play at M&T Bank Stadium, you got to go. You can't be a sports fan and ignore that they're in your backyard. So to me, you know, I went downtown to see, you know, street, you know, IndyCar, all those things. When they come, you got to see it.
All right.
And Messi's one of those guys.
Laying down the law, Rob Long Sports on Twitter. That's where you can find him. Getting set for the Big Bad Morning Show on our affiliate in Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan. Hottest team in baseball, breathing down the necks of the Rays atop the AL East. And as he says, we're not going to be strangers, because apparently he's going to ambush my show multiple times over the course of the rest of the
September,
summer?
October.
September, September, October. All right. Well, then I look forward to talking to you again soon, my friend. Thank you.
Anytime, baby.
He's decided. He's like Tyreek Hill, giving us predictions about what's to come. And actually, Ty's name is in my head just because I wrote a CBS Sportsman about him. So I need to go and record that. Boomer Esiason's out this week, which means So the minutes are being divvied up by various hosts here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I just put up a new set of photos from my climb to the Statue of Liberty crown. These are aerial photos, which are so amazing. I love the photos from heights, but there's a few from earlier in the weekend as well. Love to hear from you. Your lack of AC stories are making me cringe. I'm so thankful for AC that works when I try to sleep in the summer.
Djokovic is deposed as a new king of center court. Carlos Alcaraz of Spain.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Yeah, tennis on the radio. It's not a great play-by-play, but you get the gist. Fact is, Novak Djokovic is denied. At this fifth consecutive Wimbledon title by a 20-year-old. Now, that's part of the package. He's 20 years old and is still learning how to play tennis on every surface. But Carlos Alcaraz only has 17 matches on grass in his entire career. He's number one in the world. He's ahead of schedule, maybe. I mean, you could say that, although he's an awesome athlete and he works really hard. He's very tenacious. He had just lost to Novak Djokovic on the clay in Paris in the semifinals. Remember, he cramped up and couldn't really finish. And so he went and he played in London as part of the grass court warm-up, but never really got comfortable. Trying to figure out how to translate or how to transport his game from clay to grass. But he got better and better. It's a matter of working on footwork and understanding how the ball bounces on grass and what works and what doesn't. I mean, it's definitely a challenge. And Djokovic, he's comfortable there. Not only is he an all-court player, an all-surface player who's now still shy of 24 Grand Slam singles titles, but grass has become his favorite. So he was trying to win his 35th consecutive match at Wimbledon and his fifth consecutive championship. And the fact that he gets denied by a young man who's still, it's like a baby. Have you ever seen baby giraffes or baby elephants or any kind of animal that's trying to walk for the first time? Kind of awkward and wobbly. I mean, that's an extreme. But that's Alcaraz compared to Novak Djokovic. It would have been less of a surprise if Alcaraz had beat him in the semifinals in Paris on the clay than it is for him to unseat Djokovic, who was so dominant on this surface and so dominant at Wimbledon that a lot of people were expecting, especially after he won the first set 6-1. So that, not just that, Alcaraz is nervous. He's in this Grand Slam championship against the king on grass now that Roger Federer has retired, and he drops the first set in a heartbeat, 6-1. And yet the rest of the match nearly goes 5 hours. That's how much of a fight and a battle it became for Alcaraz, who now has got a Wimbledon championship to add to his resume.
And it's a dream come true for me, being a Wimbledon champion, something that I really wanted. And honestly, I didn't expect to get it, really soon. And it's time to enjoy and, to see everything, all my feelings. And it's, as I say, it's a dream.
Not only does he have the chance to receive the trophy from Princess Kate, right? So she's out there and she's representing the royal family. But there's just celebrities all around center court. Brad Pitt was there. Daniel Craig and his wife. I'm trying to think of some of the other sports figures that I saw there throughout the course of the fortnight at Wimbledon. It's a hot ticket, especially when you're talking about history on the line, which is what it was for Novak Djokovic. But ultimately, points to a couple of moments where things went off the rails.
I would say tiebreak in a second to backhands that kind of let me down, to be honest. Set point, I missed the backhand. He did play
a backhand that was quite long in the court, and it had a little bit of a bad bounce. But you know, I should not have missed that shot. And then on 6-all, again another backhand from middle of the court in the net. You know, just two very poor backhands.
He was dejected. I mean, it's tough anyway in the wake of a painful loss to have to talk about it. He's very gracious, but certainly is looking ahead now to the U.S. Open in New York and a potential match against Alcaraz on the hard court.
Yeah, I hope we get to play in the U.S. Open. Why not? You know, I think it's good for the sport, playing one and two in the world facing each other in almost a five-set thriller. It's couldn't be better for our sport in general, so why not?
I remember when Roger Federer was ascending as the king of tennis and was, I wouldn't say unbeatable, that's no such thing in sports, but he was about as close as you could be to a sure thing, and it was Novak Djokovic who was kind of the upstart and who was challenging it, because Roger and Rafa are closer in age. Novak is a little bit younger, so it was kind of him who started to find his footing and began to challenge Roger Federer at the time. So congratulations to Alcaraz. This remains number one in the world. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy grabbing attention at the Scottish Open. He wins there with a pair of birdies on the last two holes. His first victory in Scotland, but more importantly, a tune-up for the Open.
Feels incredible. You know, it's been a sort of long 6 months, I feel, since I won in Dubai. I've given myself tons of chances, you know, and hopefully this win sort of breaks the seal for me, especially going into next week as well.
Yeah, so the Open Championship is coming up this week. So tell me again how July is so slow and there's nothing going on. With my apologies to Rory, and of course, giving proper due to Carlos Alcaraz and Novak Djokovic, my favorite moment of the weekend, the most entertaining moment of the weekend, I mean, Steph Curry, what can't he do?
It's obvious he can really play.
Boy, this is right at it if it gets there. How about that?
Oh, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Okay, it's not just entertaining that Steph Curry had a hole-in-one on, it was a par three, sometime on Saturday at this golf course at Tahoe. It's a celebrity tournament, so we're not talking about the pros there, but a hole-in-one is a hole-in-one. Once that ball bounces in and drops into the cup, he takes off running. So we can tell by the crowd reaction that it's a hole-in-one. It's a par three. He watches the ball disappear into the cup. He just starts running. He rips off his golf glove. He chucks it into the... He throws his hat. He just runs. He sprints the entire length of the hole and then around the green like he's doing a victory lap.
How many aces you made?
That is my second one ever, so...
You almost hold it in the hole before.
I'm locked in right now, but to do it on this hole is unbelievable. Wow. Wow.
I didn't know you could run that fast that long. It's a little longer than a basketball court down
just
there.
Just a little bit. I was 140 yards, so not 94 feet. But, wow. I'll be out of breath for the rest of the day for a good reason, though.
There you go.
Hey! That's what I'm talking about.
Congrats.
You've got to watch the video. You've got to watch it. It's up on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, and he's just a goof. Now, I get it's a celebrity tournament, but wasn't he just trying to explain the etiquette and the rules of golf to Draymond Green a couple weeks ago in Vegas? And now here he is sprinting the length of a hole and just letting it all hang out. And then he dropped an eagle putt on the 18th on Sunday to win the tournament and beat Marty Fish. I mean, no mention of Aaron Rodgers. Too bad. So sad, Aaron. Better get back to playing some football. Anyway, fun to watch Steph Curry, so check it out on our show Twitter. Also, as we reconvene on Monday afternoon, still supposed to be hot and steamy in many parts of the country, we'll have to share some of your surviving without AC stories. And I didn't get a chance to tell mine, but I will. Check out the photos from my climb to the crown of the Statue of Liberty. They're on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Facebookers. I promise you, you'll get some soon. I can only do so much. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!